Hello, 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 drama listeners. Hey, it's Connor here. I just wanted to stop by before the episode starts to say thank you for joining us. Welcome to Drama. If this is your first time listening to the show, this is a chat show between your favorite twins on planet Earth that you have or haven't met, Connor and Dylan McDowell, where we talk to theater artists, pop culturistas, the stars of today and tomorrow. And we're so happy you found us. We have a whole backlog of almost 6 years worth of weekly episodes where you can check out chats with the types of people that I just described a second ago. But today's a very special one. We've got Lorna Courtney on the podcast, currently starring in Heathers Off Broadway. You know her. You love her from Anne Juliet. You're going to love this chat. Before you listen to it, I just want to tell you, we also have extra bonus episodes on patreon.com/thedramapodcast. A little site called Drama Plus, because it's all the drama you know and love, plus more. You get access to our close friends on Instagram, and you get extra episodes every single month where Dylan and I chit-chat about all things theater, pop culture, love, life, reality TV, current events, Broadway casting news, hot topics. We dish, we dip, we dive, we dodge, we drama. Anyway, patreon.com/thedramapodcast, $5 a month to join Drama Plus. If you're new, check out our backlog of episodes. And for all of you, we love you. Enjoy this episode with Lorna Courtney. All right, see you in a few seconds.
Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nominated?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, happy weekend. Happy Friday. It's New Music Friday in many ways.
New Music Friday.
So much new music.
Wait, it's so funny that you say that because I was just listening to Jade's new album of Little Mix fame.
Love. Love.
I know that one came out a few weeks ago, but I was a little bit behind.
Still new.
And then her fellow Little Mix bandmate, Perry, released her self-titled album today, too. So.
I know. I love them. I miss Little Mix.
Oh, I know.
My God.
It's very popular for people to say, like, they deserved better or they could have been the biggest girl group. But, like, honestly, like, you and I were doing the hard yards for them on Twitter back in, like, 2012, 13. Okay.
Let's just put it that way. Come on. Remember the summer before, was it the summer before college? We watched their whole X Factor season on like YouTube or something. Or did we get a VPN?
I was on a weird streaming site. I forget what it was called, okay. But yes, basically it was sort of that.
Ugh.
You know, because we were obviously big One Direction fanboys.
So oh, yes.
By extension, you had to support the girlies. And so we were Little Mixers at the same time.
They were great. I love them so much. I love all the press that Jade has been doing surrounding her album release, which, by the way, obsessed with the album, incredible. And she was talking about how, like, when she gets in her low moments, she'll go back and just watch Little Mix videos or watch performances that they did on award shows, live shows, etc. And she'll be like, oh wait, like, we were those girls. How are we not the biggest pop artists in the world? And I love that like helps give her a boost to keep going, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of our, literally, I know we mention this on the podcast all the time, but when we have Gay Guy Music Video Night, aka Friday Night Before Going Out, we always are streaming Little Mix's videos. Power.
Touch.
Heartbreak Anthem. Touch. You know, all of the hits. Wings,
Black
even.
Magic.
We also saw them live when they opened for Ariana Grande in like 2017, I want to say.
Yeah. Oh my God, they were so good. And Perry's album is great too. Her voice is beyond.
Her album is giving like a Kelly Clarkson album.
It is. Which we love.
Yeah,
of course. Of course.
I paused for a second. You're like,
and know that they're doing totally different things, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, oh my God, Dylan, so much good stuff happening today. New music and feeling good vibes.
Of course.
And also we have a guest on who we have been dreaming of speaking with for...
Dreaming of.
It's been years at this point.
I know. When I was looking at the dates of when things were happening that introduced us to her for the first time, I was like, wow, it's been a couple of years now.
And wait, and also gagged at some of her lore that we didn't know, some pre-COVID lore,
which not know.
We have to get into. So Dylan, I almost just drank my coffee, but I started getting like too excited. But also I'm drinking coffee at, say with me, 3:45 p.m., but it's okay. Our guest is having breakfast right now. So it's all good. We're all fine. All right, I'm going to do our intro and bring her in. Y'all, our guest today is so very currently starring as Veronica Sawyer in the off-Broadway revival of Heathers the Musical. She rose to stardom in the titular role of Juliet in Anne Juliet on Broadway. For her performance, she was nominated for a Tony Award, Drama League Distinguished Performance Award, and won the Clive Barnes Award in 2023. A native New Yorker from Queens, New York, her other Broadway credits and aforementioned lore include Dear Evan Hansen and the 2020 revival of West Side Story. On television, she appeared in the CBS series The Equalizer opposite Queen Latifah. She received her Bachelor of Fine Arts from the University of Michigan and graduated from LaGuardia High School in New York City for voice. You can hear her gorgeous vocals on the Anne Juliet cast album, including on a special duet of Since You've Been Gone with the song's original recording artist, who we love, Kelly Clarkson. Earlier this year, she debuted her solo show, Fearless, at Joe's Pub after starring in the premiere production of Empire Records, the musical, on this beautiful frickin' day. Please welcome to Drama, Lorna Courtney.
Yay! Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, we're so excited to have you. We are obsessed with you. We think you have the greatest voice of all time. Oh, we're so happy to have you.
You're too sweet.
It's all true. It's all true. Seriously. Wait, I mentioned that you were just having breakfast. You've had a crazy day. We like to check in. You look amazing, by the way.
Oh, yes. Thank you. My headache is like...
Oh no. And now we're going to be pinging in your ear these two little buzzing gay voices. I'm so sorry.
No, this is a great distraction.
Okay, we'll take it.
Well, we always like to check in with our guests. Lorna, are you well?
I think so. I just need to like take a break, like maybe even a little nap before the show. That'll be great.
Yeah, that's so fair. I mean, it's a crazy schedule for you. Do you all have two shows on Saturday and Sunday, or is it just...
Yes, okay. We do. It just changed. It wasn't always like that, but I think after school started, they changed the schedule, and I was like, yeah, no, I can't do that.
I know, that's crazy. That's a lot. Yeah, do you have an alternate?
I have a standby, Sarah, who's amazing and covers myself, and also Heather Chandler. So I think she will be made into an alternate.
I love that.
Coming soon.
Mm-hmm. More of that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you didn't have a standby in Anne Juliet, did you?
I had no, because Rachel, who was first cover, I just had first, second, and third cover, but Rachel was in the ensemble every night dancing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wrongful. Anyway.
But I mean, she is being the star that she is in the new Prince musical. So,
oh wait, that's so
cool. I can't wait.
Wait, Rachel Webb is her name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did she do the tour of Anne Juliet?
She did. She did the first year, and they just announced the second year.
Okay, then I saw her in Ohio earlier this year, and she was incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, like her voice is golden. I love it.
Wait, so do you have any pre-show rituals? You mentioned you might nap before the show.
Oh.
Is that a typical day for Lorna Courtney getting ready to go to Westerberg?
Well, yeah. Some pre-show rituals include warming up physically and also vocally. I work with Marcia Polis, and she has me doing like this special Pilates breathing core strengthening exercises.
I've heard she's like a best kept secret of the theater community.
Yes, she really is. And when I do that, and when I work out and I'm connected to my breath and to my body, I feel stronger, and I feel vocally strong. Like the show doesn't hurt vocally.
Wow.
At the end, you know what I mean? So I'm going to keep doing that. And that also affects my mental health too, right? Because if I feel it, if it's like tiring to me physically and vocally, then it affects, yeah, I feel down.
Of course.
I'm like, oh, like how long am I gonna last? Am I gonna make it through the end of the week, right? Because it's such a demanding role, emotionally, physically, vocally, very different from Anne Juliet. This one, not only, I mean, are the songs challenging, but the scene work is also takes a lot of breath support because there's a lot of yelling and screaming. It's a very dark show. Yeah. But other pre-show rituals, like I try not to eat too close to the time that I have to perform because I don't want it to come up. But I make sure that I do have a good balance, well-balanced meal with lots of carbs and protein and veggies. Let's see. These, you said you asked for before the show,
yes,
right? Rituals. They're also after the show rituals too.
Wow. Okay. You're committed. What do you do after you wrap?
The after show rituals include cooling down the voice. I should also stretch, but maybe I should add that in, that one. And also soaking in an Epsom salt bath when I come home for my muscles. It helps me sleep better. I'm actually using magnesium flakes. I get good rest when I do that. It like helps my muscles also relax too. Because if you have tension in your body where you're not supposed to have, where you're not intentionally putting, you know, tension into larger muscles, then it could all come up and affect the voice, right? We don't want that.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it is all connected. That's so cool. How did you learn all of this? Just from years of being a leading lady?
Trial and error. I think really it kind of started, oddly enough, I guess, on a dental journey. And I'm wearing, I guess there's sort of like Invisalign right now, but one, I was having vocal things. And then I was also having teeth things. I found Marcia and she recommended me to this dentist. And we've just been like, I've just been wearing braces for the past like 2.5 years.
Really? Like, oh my gosh.
While singing on stage. And yeah. And that's it's crazy because like your teeth are moving. So that affects different things too. Like it affects your jaw, your neck. And I'm just a lot more aware and in tune to my body now because of my braces journey and also the show.
Yeah.
The shows.
I never would have known. I mean, like they truly are invisible there too.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's good.
I'm glad you're figuring all that out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad too. And doing it like earlier on in the career. That way I hope to have some longevity.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, really quick, I was gonna recommend, do you take magnesium glycinate to sleep? Or before bed.
So that's why I do those soaking in either Epsom salt. Right now I'm using magnesium flakes from like the Dead Sea. It's like really good stuff.
Yeah.
I also like use magnesium lotion and like after that bath and rub it on my muscles, rolling out my legs and things like that. And that helps me go to sleep. It also has lavender too.
Ooh, pretty.
Oh my God. The best. The best.
Yeah.
Well, I am so happy for you and this journey that you're on, just, you know, understanding yourself and your voice and everything, but also just that you're on stage in New York in a hit show. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Yeah, this show, like I said, it's completely different from Anne Juliet, but for some reason, like the audience is sort of like the same. Like, there's a lot of young people that come to see the show, like the tweens, you know? So I have a lot of like the tweens. And then also that age group that's like children of the 90s, you know? And I guess the late 80s since this movie came out in 89. But I love it. And people come dressed up as my character. I feel like even more responsibility to do well in the show when they're like sitting in the front row staring at me dressed as me. I'm like, okay, I got you. I won't look at you, but not until the end. But I got you.
Yeah. What was your relationship to Heathers before you were cast in this?
I heard some of the songs before 17, but I never saw a production of it. I only watched the movie after I got the role. So like I had a lot of homework that I needed to do, right? But it's also like, oh, like, how do I take this and sort of make it my own? Because I am not, I'm a writer. And, you know, and also this is a musical too, right? It's a musical comedy or dramedy. I don't know.
Yeah, a little bit of everything, honestly.
Yeah,
it's pretty
a little
camp,
bit of
but it
everything.
Is dark. Yeah.
It's camp, it's satire. So how do I take this well-known entity and make it into my own thing and storytell in this way? And I think I figured it out. I think I'm telling a story. I'm telling a story. And it's one of like resilience. And it's also one of empowerment. So similar to Anne Juliet, actually. I seem to gravitate towards these roles. And I love it. I love the journey of starting without a voice and finding, you know, my voice at the end of the show and saving the school, being the heroine.
It is so exciting. Oh my God. Well, I got to see you in the show. Lorna, you blew me away from start to finish. Your voice is just beyond. Your acting is amazing. And your take on the character was so refreshing and surprising at times, but it felt so right. Like we were talking with someone earlier, we were like, you believe that her Veronica would be friends with Martha, you know, like you aww, believe it.
Yeah.
Like you believe everything.
Me and Martha, we have our own special handshake. Okay.
No, but seriously, I just loved the show so much. And the audience was just eating it up. Has that been the response to the show basically since you guys put it out on stage?
Yeah, we've been like extremely lucky in that sense to one, you know, open an off-Broadway show and perform for sold out audiences. Already have people have been waiting 8 years to see the show, 10 years to see the show, and they've come from all over. So it's just a really special feeling every night.
Yeah.
Very grateful.
Oh, and wasn't it supposed to finish like around now? Like originally it was a limited run.
Oh yeah, I think we're supposed to be done. But I was like, ooh, that was fast. Yeah. Carrie said that the other day, like, y'all, we weren't supposed to be here.
I was like,
oh, but no, I'm so glad that they extended. And I think the hope is that they will continue to extend.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the interest and the hunger is there. I mean, I haven't seen it yet. So next time I'm in the city, I definitely need to come and check it out.
Oh, yes, you have to come.
Dylan, you have to.
It's such a stacked cast, too. I mean, we told you beforehand, we are pals with Casey, but we've also had Mackenzie on our show. And Brian did our show a few years ago.
Yeah,
it's just such a great group of people coming together. Did you know anyone going into the cast?
Oh, yeah. So Casey and I did a workshop on Lost Boys, maybe like a few months like before we got this. And then I went to school with two of the Heathers. We were all at Michigan together, Mackenzie Kurtz and Olivia Hardy. So we know each other very well.
Wow. How fun. Well, it shows on stage. It looks like you all are just having such a blast.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Although Veronica is going through it for much of the show. I was thinking about when you were talking about just like your cool down and everything, like she is in kind of a state of tension for much of it, stress and tension.
Oh my gosh. And I had to figure that part out because I was like, oh, this is not working. That's why I had to hire Marcia. Cause I was like, oh, like the tension is tensing. Okay. Like I need to figure out a way to like relay that, but keep it in the core or, you know, squeeze the inner thighs or something like that. That way this can all stay free. My neck and my jaw, my head, shoulders, knees, and no. but I'm really glad that I got the extra help. And I'm also taking voice lessons with Joan later too, which have been really helpful because it's a hard score. And Joan was like, they want you to sing this every night.
Sometimes twice a day.
Yes, Joan. Yes, twice. I was like, yes.
The score is bop after bop after bop.
Yeah.
My favorite is randomly, is it called Fight For Me?
Yeah.
That's my favorite song in the show. I just think it's so good.
I love that one. It's so funny. Like the way that it's staged
is
really hilarious.
It really is. Do you have a favorite song from Heathers?
Ooh, okay. Let's see. There's just so many. I mean, like the ones that I'm not a part of. I love Candy Store. And Meant to Be Yours, of course. They called it in rehearsals like the opera. I don't know why. I was so confused. That was like, because there's people singing operatically behind him. The opera sequence.
He's so scary.
Yeah. He's scary. He plays the part too well.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, Casey, I didn't know you were such a bad boy.
I know, right? He knew it. No. Yeah, and then I guess the songs that I like. Oh wait, but Dead Gay Sun is like
Oh.
that's yeah. That's always just a bop, and the audience reaction to it is just hilarious. So
And of course, 17, you mentioned that was one of the ones you knew beforehand.
oh yes, and 17. I know it's like the moments that I sing these songs are not like my character is not going through something happy. So when I'm thinking about like, oh, what are my favorite things? I'm thinking like, oh, what's the stuff that just cracks me up, makes me laugh? I'm like, no, my character has a really big like emotional journey through the show. And so I'm just so focused and intense, like when singing those songs, I forget. I am having fun, but
Wait, I forgot to ask you this earlier. Was this just like a regular audition that came through your representation and you went through it like that? Oh my
yeah, I
God.
was auditioning for this and also another show at the same time, Two Strangers Carrying a Cake Across New York. And it was between both, but I like in studying my lines, one of them faltered, like one didn't do so well. You'll know which one. And so I got this. No, but I'm really glad that I got this role because I mean it's already like it's such a well-known show and I'm having the best time and the people on stage are just every single person is so talented and so incredible. Yeah, I'm having a blast.
I'm so happy to hear it, seriously. And again, your performance is crazy, so
Oh,
good. Everybody has got to go see you
thank
in
you.
Heathers. Now, we're talking about the right now, but we also like to talk with our guests about what got you into the arts. We call it Ring of Keys because we borrow this moment of identification from the musical Fun Home, because in Fun Home, that character is having a moment where she realizes, wait, I really see myself in what I'm looking at right now. So we borrow it for this, where we're like, okay, I was watching something or listening to a song or whatever, because I identify with that too, and I need to have a life in the arts. Do you feel like you had a moment that sprung you into this?
Well, it was actually I got started in an unconventional way through a gospel choir that I joined when I was young, and it was a part of like an after school program, performing arts thing for teens, and they also put on musicals, and I got the chance to perform in Japan for like a month with this gospel musical. I had to ask my mom, beg my mom, and she allowed me to go because there was a teacher on set. And I had the best time. And at that same time, I was studying opera in school, and it was I was 15, so that's sophomore year. So I had to decide, like going into junior year, you know, what do I want to do? Like, do I want to continue down the opera lane? Do I want to move forward to musical theater? I chose musical theater and I applied for a whole bunch of scholarships and things to HB Studio and Broadway Dance Center to try and prepare for these college auditions. I also got a few roles in my school. I auditioned for the school's musical and got Nina and In the Heights and then Belle and Beauty and the Beast my junior and senior year. So I found my way through musical theater through singing gospel music and just like voice also like through singing. But I wanted to go to school for it to learn more about this art form, even though I'm from New York, like the center of musical theater, Broadway. I did see a few no I saw some Broadway shows growing up through like lotteries or things like that.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Was there a show that let's see I d and when I was young and when I was young I did picture myself I wondered I was like I wonder if I can do that or that seems like a cool job but I think I was so young that I didn't think twice you know what I mean
Yeah.
I didn't think that that was like a real thing I saw let's see West Side Story I remember because my sister's who was like five, like screamed when the gunshot went off at the end, and I'm so embarrassed.
Was this like
And
the 2009 revival?
oh, yeah, that would make
Yeah.
sense. The ages
Okay.
make sense there.
Yeah.
when I was old, like in high school, I got to see Les Mis and loved that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I honestly think that like being a part of it in high school. I had so much fun, like in the Heights, and Lynn came to our school. Some of the other cast members of the original like Broadway production came to our school and spoke with us. It just was really transformative, and I wanted to become a part of that.
Wow, I love it. Okay, wait, I have two questions. Mm-hmm. One's about In the Heights and one's about Beauty and the Beast. Okay, mm-hmm. So is there any like audio or video footage of you singing mm-hmm. Breathe? Of you singing Everything I Know? Of
yeah,
you singing When the Sun Goes Down?
There are a couple bootlegs actually of The Sun Goes Down, of Breathe, and of maybe it was, it was Be My Guest? Be Our Guest?
I guess, yeah, yeah.
Because I don't sing that one technically, but I did some like high kicks.
Oh, fun.
In that one. Yeah.
I need the fans to send them to me immediately.
Oh, they're on YouTube if you dig.
They're on YouTube? Okay. With Beauty and the Beast, did this version have Belle singing A Change in Me?
Yes, of course.
The best
Incredible
song.
Incredible song.
Yes.
Yes. You know the history about it.
Oh, yes.
Can you believe she didn't have a song at the end of the show until
wow.
Tony came in? That's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
I wonder if there's like a recent example of that where like a star has come into a show and they've added a new song for them, you know?
Ooh.
Oh, definitely. I'm sure it happens like, oh, well, like when the show already exists and then someone comes in. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, they did. Didn't they add extra choreo for Charli D'Amelio in And Juliet?
I think they changed some things around. Yeah they did change things. Okay. Though. They did change things. Okay. Because Bobby was, oh, wait, what do you call that when it, like a, wait, what do you call that? When you like pop and.
Like break dancing?
Yes, but a specific type of break dancing. Oh, Bobby would, don't kill me. Where you like shake almost? Like, I forget what you call
that's
it.
That's cool.
But anyway, that was like Bobby's thing. And Charli has a different thing. So they, changed up the choreo to fit Charli's thing.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that like they're willing to, you know, creatives are willing to adapt to the strengths of the performers that they have coming in.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing about like the choreo in Anne Juliet. No two people are supposed to look the same doing the choreo. Everyone has a different style. And you can see it in the choreo, in like the costumes, and it helps the audience members watch people individually throughout the show and follow their journey, which I just love.
I know. That is really amazing. It's why you mm-hmm. can see the show so many times and never get bored with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a party.
Or performing it a million times.
Or performing it. Yeah, I know. No, I had an end date. I was like, whoo.
I'm sure. Just for the pipes alone.
I was like, y'all hear me roar.
Lorna, I was re-listening to the cast album, just, you know, getting hyped to chat with you.
Yeah, you were? That's so sweet.
And I was like, oh, she's singing like every big song. It's like every single one. Like, oh, here she is again. Here she is again.
No, I think I sung like 17 out of the 23 songs.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a lot.
It made me like really pause and be like, wow, to put every like hit mm-hmm. single that these pop artists have put out into a show and then tell them, okay, you're going to sing it every single night.
Yeah. Yeah. In one show, multiple times a day. Yeah. Whereas like, the artists themselves would, you know, they sing it on a tour for however many.
Yeah.
Like you get one day here, then you're off, and then you, you know, fly somewhere else.
Maybe even lip sync it, you know, you never really know.
Maybe even.
You know, Connor and I love Anne Juliet so much. It's truly one of our favorites over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
What are some memories from when you think about that time in your life?
Oh my gosh. Well, that was also during COVID times.
Right.
Well, coming out of COVID times. So I remember when I got COVID and I was like still recovering, you know, because that's when like when it hit you good. Yeah. And I was like brain foggy. And we just had a new cast member join in, Austin. And he comes, it's his first day and I'm here brain foggy. I go up on my line and I'm like, in my big speech at the end, I say, and raise a glass to freedom. And everyone on stage is dying laughing, trying to hold it together. And I'm here like all week from COVID.
Wow, Lynn's impact.
Lynn's impact, but also because Austin, it was his first day. And I was thinking, oh, it's his first day.
Yeah. Austin Scott came in, was it as Shakespeare?
Yeah, and Shakespeare. No, like they will never let me live that down. Even my poster on the wall, because we all put posters and sign it, like when we leave, says that. It says that on my poster. And I'm
That's
like,
so
wow,
funny.
y'all.
Raise a glass to freedom is incredible. Oh my God, that's so
Yeah.
funny.
Yep.
Can you take us back to the moment that you found out you got nominated for a Tony Award?
Oh, yeah. That was, I mean, I wasn't expecting it. I was just watching the TV because, that's what one does, like on this day. And I was like really happy for all of my friends and people that were nominated. And when I heard my name, I just was shocked and jumped up in the air and started jumping up on the couch. I was over at my best friend's apartment, and she was like screaming at me, saying, "Lorna, they said your name. That you got no." I was like, "Wait, what?" And then all of a sudden, like nobody prepares you for this, right? All of a sudden, like so many news outlets are calling me, and I was like, "Oh, hello, hello, hello." Like it was craziness, but like in the best way. And I've had so many great experiences from that time with Tony nominations. Also, it was like the most tiring
I'll
time
bet.
ever because we did so much press during the day, like waking up too early in the morning, doing, performing, doing press things, and then having the show at night. And there was like no break for months and months and months. Yeah. And so it was very hard, but also incredibly rewarding.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. When I saw that you got nominated, and you and Betsy, I was just thrilled.
Oh, yes. Love Betsy.
Melanie should have been up there too, in my opinion.
Yes. Mel, I love Mel so much. She was like the
Yes. We got
auntie.
to chat with her during that time, and she was just the best presence ever. I was like, oh, I could see why everybody loves you so
Yeah.
much.
She was our foundation for sure.
That's amazing. I'm dying to know, Lorna. I mentioned before you were on Broadway before Anne Juliet. You were in Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah.
For some reason, not playing Zoe, but anyway. And you were in that West Side Story revival.
I think it's because I was still in school, like when they were holding auditions, but I wanted to finish my program, and so then they sent me, oh, well, I'll tell you the story. So it was the spring break of my junior slash senior year, because I did it in 3 years, and I went back home to New York, and I would wake up at like 4:30, 5 a.m. and check what at that time. I don't know how people do it now, but I would check BroadwayWorld.com to see like, okay, which auditions are happening, how early do I have to get there, and then put my name on the non-equity list like 7 a.m., 8 a.m. And then I'd be seen by different casting directors. Pretty soon, those casting directors started sending me auditions. And I only had like a week for spring break. I went back to finish out the rest of my year. And a couple of those auditions that came in stuck. And it was Dear Evan Hansen and West Side Story. I actually, the day of my showcase in Michigan, I got the call from the casting director saying, "You have the part of Zoe and Alana, or the understudy for Zoe and Alana in Dear Evan Hansen." And it was crazy because it was like I just performed like one show for the showcase, and it was during the break, and then I had another show to do, and now I'm like, okay, well, I guess I need to find an agent now. Because at the same time, I was also in finals for West Side Story too. So the reason I got the agent was to help me negotiate, that way I could do both, and I ended up doing both.
Did the agent come from that showcase?
The agent, actually, my current agent was at that showcase, and I didn't go with my current agent, even though my heart told me to. I went with a bigger agency, and I don't regret anything. It is what it is, and this is my journey that I'm on now, but I'm really happy with the agency that I'm currently with, which is CESD.
Love, love, love.
Yes, I love that. It just goes to show, like, your path is never straight. It could
Yeah,
be, zigzaggy at
exactly.
times, but you end up where you're supposed to be. So that the West Side Story offer that came in, was that the Ivo Vanhove
Yes,
revival? Oh,
yes.
okay. Wow. So then you were able to do both, like what first one and then the next?
Yeah. So I did Dear Evan Hansen from, I think it was like right after I graduated in May through October of 2019. And then I started West Side Story in October. We were in rehearsals for 2 months through December. The rehearsal process was very, very hard because it was very experimental and it was very dance heavy. And I was an understudy for Maria, but I was also in the ensemble every night and I wasn't used to being a dancer. And so I'm like the least experienced out of all the other dancers on stage that are used to that sort of, I don't know, like at one point we were like supposed to make up our own choreography and teach other people to like, I don't know, it was some exercise, but I was so stressed. Little old me was just so stressed. And I was like, I mean, I remember performing every night. I was just so out of breath and my chest was on fire. And I thought I was going to die. Like, it was a lot. And they didn't even have me in all of the dance scenes that happened. So they took me out of, like, the partner ones. So, no, but I did it. But I remember, like, feeling so – it was so rewarding when I did finish. And I felt good about myself, like, for doing something that was completely, like, out of my comfort zone.
Yeah. Those are some of the best growth opportunities.
For sure.
I mean, I've heard so much about that revival. I was literally in line for tickets the day that Broadway shut down. You know, so I never got to see it. Connor and I did not get to see it, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
But it's one of those like regrets. It's like that and Shuffle Along are two of the shows that I like was living in New York when it was happening and didn't get to see. But anyways, I remember like seeing like it was like very experimental. There was sort of some stuff that now like we're seeing Jamie Lloyd doing.
No, it was just like Sunset. Yeah, it was just like Sunset Boulevard. And when I saw Sunset, I was like, oh my gosh, this was just like West Side Story. No, but I'm so glad Sunset did it because they also like stripped everything away. There was like no set on stage. And you're like, wow, like how can you do this? We didn't think of like theater in that way, like storytelling in that way, but it was so powerful just with people and this film medium. And yeah, of course the dancing and singing. But West Side Story, we also had a set that was like four flights of stairs up, like four stories up, and that was Maria's bedroom. And so every night Shireen and Isaac, they would have to like run up and down these stairs. The camera person would like be following them up and down these stairs. It was very interesting. No, I loved that he did something that was so different, right? And some people really loved him. There was mixed reviews. Some people really loved it and some people didn't. But like my 70 and 80-year-old great aunt and uncle who saw the original loved this version. They said they liked it better. I was like, whoa, y'all are like, come on now.
You're like, yeah, because I'm in it.
I'm like, come on. I don't know if I believe all that. But maybe part of it was because they could see what was happening because of this big screen on stage.
There's something to that, right?
Yeah. I remember there was people who had a lot of feelings about the show before it came in because weren't some of Maria's songs cut from the show?
Oh, well, just the one song, I Feel Pretty, was cut. Okay. But that's because Sondheim said he never liked that song anyway. So he was like, you can cut it. It's fine.
I love that Sondheim was so down with like adapting his art as it went on.
Company.
He was there. He was there. Really? So yeah, it's such a huge cast too. It felt like there was 50 people on stage and the orchestra was huge. You don't see that. You don't see that really anymore. I mean, yeah, Some Like It Hot was the only I can, yeah. There were so many people on stage dancing and you could see how big the orchestra was in that show.
Yeah.
So that's why I loved watching that.
Well, I was going to say, you know, Maria, she gets to sing soprano, maybe a little operatic at times. Did you ever get to go on for the role, digging back into your opera origins?
You know, when I was scheduled to go on the next time that Shireen had an out, I couldn't perform because I had a wedding to go to. And then the show closed and never reopened because of COVID.
Bummer. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wasn't meant to happen, I guess.
No, but Shireen, like she was great, and she went on and she performed, and if she had a little sinus infection, that doesn't matter because I mean honestly, sometimes when you're singing more operatically, it kind of helps. It kind of helps when you have a little cold, like Yeah, no, but the people will forever and always be friends and stay with me and like be in my heart because it was such a hard process that we all went through where they were just taking things and scrapping it, changing it every single day. Whereas other shows, or a lot of other shows that I've done, everything is set. The choreography is what it is. They come and they teach it to you. They know they have a plan. This was no plan. They had some ideas, like Evo had some ideas, but we literally were just starting from scratch. And I do like that. Even though this show existed already, I love coming into it with a brand new, like fresh set of eyes. I think that's a great approach.
That's very cool.
We could talk about West Side Story the whole time,
I
but
know.
any favorite celeb or singer or anybody who came to see Anne and Juliet? I remember the backstage pictures were crazy from that first year.
Who didn't come? I
I
mean, there were
know.
just so many people. I mean, I know someone that didn't come, but
Oh.
that I would love to meet in person. I mean, there's a many, many people like Pink. I would love for Pink. I would love to meet Pink.
Wait, you know this song? I'm sure you know this fun fact. What Do You Want From Me was supposed to be a Pink song.
Oh, I didn't know that actually.
Yeah, and then they gave it to Adam.
Wow, but Adam sounds incredible, like singing anything. And that song was just in my childhood, so I just love it so much.
I know. I need like an Adam and Pink duet version, like the Anne Juliet duet version that's on stage. That would be great.
Yes. No, I definitely think when Ariana Grande came to see the show, I didn't know she was in the audience. I was completely shocked and started crying.
And you know she was living for you, Lorna.
And everyone was like, "Lorna, you just sung for," and I was like, "Oh!" I was like,
Yeah.
"Thank God you didn't tell me. Thank God."
Who's like your pop girl? Like, is it Ariana? Is it someone else?
Ooh, I mean, I love Rihanna.
Yes.
I'd like to think maybe we could be twins. No.
I was gonna say.
Yeah.
We do like to end with a dose of drama. This is just something kind of fun and cheeky to leave the listeners with. It could be a recommendation about an album you're loving, a movie you saw, some backstage fun from Heather's. We'll all share. So I will go first. I just want to say, for those people who have not watched The Real Housewives of Atlanta, my fiance and I have been making our way through it in the last year and a half. We just finished season 10 today. It is some of the greatest television in the world. I know you love reality TV, don't you, Lorna?
Oh, don't call me out.
I saw, I'm like, you wrote something somewhere. Maybe it was on your website.
No, I'm kind of addicted. It's really bad. 90 Day Fiance, Married at First Sight, like, and then 90 Day Fiance has like three different like offshoots now, and I just like watch all of them. It's really bad.
It's your way to unwind, I'm sure. It's like such mindless.
I know it is. I love comedy, and also I think maybe I get really like relationship
Yeah,
advice from it,
that's real.
like what not to do. Like, ooh, that looks. I would never do that.
Yeah, because so much of reality TV is like conflict and resolution in relationships, whether it's friendship or romantic. So I definitely like you see certain things reflected and you're like, oh my God, that's not the way to communicate. That's not the way to apologize. Like,
Thanks for making me feel better. I
yes.
really appreciate that.
We're both reality TV junkies,
We
so you're in
love.
good company, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm watching Broad City,
Oh.
which I love. And yeah, like just something, comedic and light, and I don't have to do much thinking. That's what I prefer after a show.
Yeah, for sure. Oh God, and they're so funny. Those girls. Have you watched it before, or is this your first?
No, this is my first. I mean, like I've seen episodes, but this is like my first time like watching it through.
Oh, it's so good.
It's
Wait,
so comforting. Give us a
Yeah.
call when you finish the final episode because
Okay.
it
Oh my God.
really is
No
incredible.
spoilers. No spoilers. It's just a perfect ending for a
Okay.
series. Yeah,
Okay.
they nailed it. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's nice.
Oh my gosh. Okay, really quick dose of drama from me. I have no idea what my Halloween costume is going to be. I usually have an idea by like August. So this is really tough for me. So if anyone like wants to just send any ideas my way, that would be fantastic. I usually go as something pop culture, something that was big in pop culture during the last year. So
okay.
We'll see. But I'm excited. I love this time of year. I love fall in New York.
Yeah.
And can't wait for Halloween.
You'll perform on Halloween, right, Lorna?
Oh yeah, baby. We're performing and I know it's going to be crazy. It's going to be insane and I can't wait. And I have family, friends and family that are coming that day. So I'm like, you better dress up as me.
Oh, it's going to be, you're going to look out and it's going to be all Veronica's and JD's and it'll be amazing.
It's also, so our Heather Chandler, Mackenzie Kurtz's favorite holiday. And she even got a skeleton to hang up in our dressing room with only two curls of hair left. And her name is Bethany. And she's there in our dressing room. My dose of drama.
Yes.
Let's see. I try to live life drama free, to be honest. Mm. But I don't know if this makes sense, but my birthday's in October. My birthday's coming up soon.
Gosh.
Hopefully it's not dramatic.
So you're a Libra?
Yeah, I am okay. A Libra. October 12th. Oh, yes. Let's see. And I perform on that day. I'm performing during the matinee because that's a Sunday.
Well, happy early birthday.
Thank you. I know. I'm so busy. I completely forgot. So thanks for reminding me.
Will you be throwing a party or a dinner? Or how do you feel like you want to celebrate?
Oh, I'm not much of a partier. But I do love to be wined and dined.
Okay.
So I'll see what the boyfriend has in store.
There you go. Oh, that's so sweet.
I love that.
Well, Lorna, it has been so nice to get to know you. I hope we were able to make you laugh a little bit, get that headache to disappear.
Yes, you did. Thank you so much. It really did. Aw, love you guys for that.
Aw. Oh, good. Oh my God. Well, we love you. Thank you so much for doing this. You're just at Lorna Courtney on Instagram, right?
Yeah. Lorna A. Courtney.
Lorna A. Courtney.
Yes.
Everyone needs to follow you while they're following Lorna. You got to follow us at the Drama Podcast. I'm at Connor McDowell and Dylan's at Dylan McDowell.
And everyone needs to go and see Heather's. Thank you again, Lorna and Connor. I will see you next time.
Drama.
Bye.